This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It is Le Batard Show with Stugatz. No Le Batard, no Stugatz. Everybody's out personal assisting other people across the country. It is Peter Burns. It is Alyssa Lang hanging out with you. You hit us up on Twitter, at Alyssa Lang, at Peter Burns, ESPN. Guests on this Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can sign up for ESPN Plus, daily live coverage right now of the Masters. Plus, Michael Collins continues his journey across the country in a new episode of the original series, America's Caddy, covering the Masters and interviewing golf biggest stars only on ESPN Plus. First round at Augusta is in the books right now. They're kind of regrouping, getting ready for the second round, which they will not be able to get in the full round. So you'll see part of Tiger Woods he'll get through about 13, 14 holes today as he was four under. But Dustin Johnson, Alyssa Lang, sits atop the leaderboard, and that is a dangerous place for him to be because it just seems like he's figured it out lately and playing extremely well there over at Augusta National right now.
Yeah, the world number one was my pick to win the Masters this year. I've always loved Dustin. I mean, I'm completely
biased. Way to go out on
biased.
A limb there too, Lang. I'm just going to, the world number one.
I didn't hear anyone else pick Dustin. I'm just saying. Have you? Even though he's the world number one, I haven't heard any of our golf analysts pick him.
Roy, am I wrong here? Should I give Alyssa a little? This is a little bit of a bandwagon thing, right? I started today's show by throwing my daughter underneath the bus, who's 3 years old. Not actual underneath the bus. That would be illegal and highly frowned upon. But because she was wearing Alabama gear this morning going to school. But Alyssa picking the world number one to win Augusta, I feel that's a little
sound
bandwagon-ish.
Like a hater. You just sound mad.
I mean, it's a safe bet. Obviously, you know, but if you want to make money, if you're actually gambling on this thing, I would probably pick the field.
That's fair.
Listen,
to say the field. Yes,
you say safe bet, and Peter, this is what we opened the show. This is what I told you, why you should be proud of your daughter and not upset with her by choosing to dress in Alabama gear over LSU gear, because in 2020, this year, right now, that is a safe bet.
I was going to say, right? I mean, that is, you're looking for anything safe at this point. And I would not have thought, honestly, I thought the safe bet last night would have been the Tennessee Titans. The only thing that was safe about Thursday Night Football is it continues to be a dumpster fire of an actual product itself. As the Colts beat the Titans, it actually was I say this, I don't like Thursday Night Football simply for the fact of it starts any type of football fatigue for me. By the time I get to Sunday night and Monday, I'm just like, all right, I've seen it. I want to experience it. I want it to be fresh. And I don't feel fresh by the time Thursday night kicks off, but the game itself is actually pretty good. As Colts defeat the Titans yesterday, 34-17. It is an absolute beatdown in that second half where the Colts blanked the Titans 21-0. And now Phillip Rivers, top five in all-time passing yards. And again, we talk so much about all these, you know, Tom Brady going out to Tampa Bay, and we saw, you know, Bridgewater going to Carolina. And this offseason, you and I were on this show, we're on other shows, we talked about Phillip Rivers going to the Colts is such an under-the-radar dad-drives-a-minivan move that could actually just be consistently good, and that's what it is. Like, it reminds me of when Peyton Manning took over for the Denver Broncos. Yeah, the first year or two was all about monster numbers, but the year he won the Super Bowl against the Panthers, it was all because it was Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, and the defense for the Broncos was incredible, and that's what you're seeing with Phillip Rivers right now in Indy is the fact of, hey, manage the game. Don't do anything crazy. Just be total dad vibes, wearing sandals and socks, and don't screw anything up. And that's what Rivers is doing. And now it gives him an opportunity to win that division.
And you know what was promising for Colts fans last night as well, in a year of 2020 where we have learned that backup quarterbacks are extremely important. Seeing Jacoby Brissett come in and just power through for a physical touchdown, I think, was awesome for Colts fans to see. But to your point, Peter, I mean, Thursday Night Football is something that I feel like a lot of people just have on in the background. You sort of pay attention, you sort of don't. It rarely lives up to the hype. It was a decent game. Like, for Thursday, as far as Thursday Night Football goes, it was a decent game. I don't think hardly anybody picked the Colts outside of the Indianapolis area to win this game. So the fact that they came back, it was a second half comeback. The Titans committed so many special teams errors that obviously lend itself to excitement either way. I wasn't super disappointed. I do want to say, though, This is totally off topic. You mentioned Teddy Bridgewater as being one of those new additions over the summer for the Carolina Panthers. I saw a tweet yesterday about Teddy Bridgewater, who recently celebrated his birthday, and he told the media that he spent his birthday at Olive Garden. And he was like, yep, I went and ate some pasta and some bread. And I was like, Teddy Bridgewater is a king for just being like, yeah, Olive Garden, breadsticks. Cool,
I do want to know, like, at that point, I mean, I live here in Charlotte. There are nice Italian food restaurants. And I love Olive Garden, nothing against Olive Garden. I am shocked that that would be the one that he would go to. Like, it wasn't shocking to me where former Tennessee Titan quarterback and, of course, Longhorn legend Vince Young. Remember Vince Young said that he would spend, like, $6,000 a month on a Cheesecake Factory bill?
Yes.
That was the legend around him. And I could see that because the Cheesecake Factory menu is 342 pages long. Like, legitimately, that's how long it is.
And you can get any type of cuisine there.
But
yeah.
Bridgewater going into the Olive Garden and just posting up and just going, I'll do the tour to Italy for $18, please. That's a little bit of a shocker, but I guess 2020 is all about the shocking circumstances here. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang here, also getting ready to see what college football games are going to be played this weekend. I'm in a dark spot, and I'm trying to get off of this ledge right now. Alabama, LSU canceled, Georgia, Missouri, Auburn, Mississippi State. We just saw news this morning, Alyssa, Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers, who have been undefeated so far, their game against Troy now has been postponed as well. We saw Maryland, Ohio State. It's not going to get better. I mean, talk me out of being negative Nancy here of why we think we'll actually get college football finishing a season at this point, Alyssa Lang, because I'm struggling to get there at this point.
Yeah, with the way the schedule lays out, it doesn't feel promising, right? Because, you know, we talk about the SEC, a conference that you and I are very close to, and they built in that extra week at the end of the year for, okay, if a game gets postponed or if we can't play, this is where it'll happen. And you look at a team like LSU that going into this week was already using that week to make up a previous game, and then they had to cancel their game against Alabama. So now it's like, well, that game's just, what, not going to get played, I guess? Like, there's not a place to put it. You know, we've talked about the December 19th date for all the teams who are not playing in an SEC championship, but Alabama 99.9% will be at this point. So it's disheartening, certainly. The only thing that I feel like maybe we can take from this is it's a wake-up call. I mean, for some of these guys, I know across the country, one of the events that happened recently with Halloween. Some people are pointing to potentially being a reason why we're seeing an uptick in some of these cases with college football across the country. It's a wake-up call. If you want to be out there, if you want to play the rest of the season, like, we can't slip up. And that goes for the college students who are in classes with these guys or on campus with these guys every single day. And certainly the student athletes, it's not looking wonderful, though. I wish I could give you more confidence, but I don't have a ton myself. I think we'll certainly see an attempted end of the season. Like, I don't think anybody's sitting here saying, like, let's call it, at least not yet.
Although
this weekend has been depressing.
Although the Alyssa Lang, Peter Burns here with you here on the Dan Le Batard Show, the big news also is, remember, the first thing that the first domino to fall in collegiate sports was the Ivy League. I mean, we're talking, what, 8 months ago or whatnot, around that time. 8 months ago, the Ivy League was the first conference to come out and say, we're punting. We think that we see the writing on the wall that the COVID-19 outbreak is going to be ridiculous and we're not going to be able to manage it. We're shutting down basketball. We all kind of looked at that going, all right, I know they're wicked smart, I get it, but this is a little bit of an overreach, right? Well, they weren't wrong. Right then, it was every single major conference canceled their conference basketball tournament, led to March Madness being canceled, led to spring sports being canceled. Ivy League now yesterday said, Alyssa, that they are canceling, of course, not only fall sports but all their winter sports, and they don't even know if they'll have spring sports back until at least late February, which hopefully that's at some point where you have a vaccine. And I'm wondering if what we're seeing in college football isn't the slow dismantling of college football because of the cases. Because listen, if you're right now Alabama or you're Ohio State or you're Oregon, hey, you're still in the college football playoff, right? You're in the hunt. Everything is copacetic. You're going to do everything you can. If you're the backup cornerback at Penn State, and it's like, bro, we're 0-3. Like, I mean, this has already been a taxing off season. I'd find it hard to have the same amount of passion to go through these unbelievable hurdles to try to continue your college football season when you know that it's a free year of eligibility. And at the same time, you know, you're no longer playing for a Big Ten championship or a college football playoff championship. You know these numbers are only going to increase. And that's just brutal for these kids and these coaches and the ancillary business that comes along. Because these athletic departments now are going to get gutted if all of the college football and now basketball season comes to a halt.
Yeah, what the Ivy League did yesterday as far as basketball and winter sports felt eerily reminiscent. And you mentioned that. I just still, it feels like years ago, but it also feels like yesterday. I remember being at Shoot Around on Thursday morning at the SEC Men's Tournament in Nashville and being with our broadcast crew and the producer saying like, hey, we're going to call Shoot Around, go back to the hotel and just wait. And we watched the TV and we were just sitting there eating breakfast and there was the announcement that the Ivy League was calling it. And to your point, we were all sitting there like, well, this seems crazy. Like, this is so soon. And then 3 hours later, we were on a plane going back home and the tournament had been canceled. So, again, I don't want to say, like, I hope it's not a repeat, because at the end of the day, I hope we're doing the best thing possible for our student athletes and for the athletes who are out there competing and their health and safety. But gosh, it was such a gut punch yesterday to feel that same feeling that we had in March of, is this thing about to crumble? Who knows?
And now the college football playoff is not only kind of having to change their mind about a date, they're going to have to change their mind. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit more with Chris Lowe from ESPN in a moment. Burns, Alyssa Lang in for Don Lebatard and Stu Gatz. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. In order to do that, we go to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're joined by Chris Lowe, ESPN college football writer. And two different things as we get not only the second round teeing off at Augusta's. Dustin Johnson's already 2 under through 3 of his second round, is sitting over at 9 under. But I want to talk about your article, CeeLo, about different college football coaches at Augusta. But before we get into that, will we even see the end of the college football season? Maryland, Ohio State canceled, LSU, Bama. And it seems what Coastal Carolina and Troy got canceled as well today, or at least postponed. I mean, what's your reading of the tea leaves? It's not looking good, my friend.
No, but I don't think anybody ever expected it this season just to go off without a hitch. You know, we knew there were going to be some disruptions. Some weeks were going to be tough to play. I think if you look at the ESPN power rankings last week, 12 of the 25 teams are not playing this week either because they're off or because there's COVID-19 issues. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a challenge. I do think the powers that be, the commissioners, conference commissioners, the playoff committee, are willing to be flexible. They have to push some games back. They have to push the playoff back. Bob Boulsby's already said they have discussed that. I think they're going to do everything in their power to try to play, but ultimately, as Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has said, the virus will control all of that.
Chris, Peter obviously mentioned us being in round two of the Masters to sort of segue from college football to Augusta National. You just posted a great story on ESPN.com about some of the best college football coaches and their experiences with playing Augusta National. You've got Mack Brown, Nick Saban, but the one that stands out to me is Steve Spurrier, mostly because I will proclaim right here, I'm a South Carolina Gamecock, so I have a soft spot for Coach Spurrier. But you have the story in there of exactly how he got to play Augusta, and it's because he, for once in his life, didn't run up the score. Can you please tell us that story?
Well, first of all, is that story not vintage head ball coach?
Yes.
95 SEC, Cliff's Notes version, 95 SEC championship game, Florida. He's at Florida. They're beating up on Arkansas pretty good in the championship game. And, you know, and he says, well, you know, we sort of ran the ball, punted. They ran the ball, punted. We just sort of ran the clock out with him. And he said after the game, Frank Broyles, who was then the Arkansas AD and, you know, the Hogs' legendary coach and also a member at Augusta, called the head ball coach after the game and said, well, Steve, you were so nice to us. Since you didn't run the score up, I'd like to invite you to play Augusta this spring. And head ball coach says, you know, Coach Bowles will take you up on that. I'll bring me a couple buddies. Vintage Spurrier, and he got to play. Now, that wasn't the first time he played. He played before, but that was one other way he got to play. And just great stories. And listen, the coaches wrote the stories for us, you know, Mark Slavon and myself. Their stories were so good. And I think those of us who cover college football, these guys are all hardened competitors, Spurrier, Saban, Mac Brown, Bob Stoops. But the thing that was so cool is these guys have all been a part of, you know, championship games. They played in the cathedrals of college football. But to hear them describe and discuss their rounds at Augusta National with childlike wonder was really cool.
The one, and there's no doubt, Chris Lowe joining us, college football reporter here for ESPN, Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang here on the Dan Le Batard Show. And it's I can't even imagine caddying for Nick Saban, but tell everybody the story of it going down to the wire for Saban trying to break 80 and what happened.
Yeah, well, first of all, Nick's a really good golfer and takes his game seriously. And he works on it, believe it or not. He doesn't just watch film and coach football. You know, he does go play some in the offseason. He was there, I'm not sure what year it was, and he's played it a number of times, but he said he parred 16, and his caddy looked at him and said, Coach, if you'll just bogey 17 and 18, you're going to break 80. And sure enough, Nick says, you know, in his voice, I double bogey 17 and double bogey 18. I want to strangle the caddy. But he didn't, you know, he says, listen, the reality is that you never would have been in that position to break in had it not been for the caddy. Those caddies, if you've ever been there, are so awesome. They know every nook and cranny of that course and where to hit it. But it's just so classic to hear Saban tell that story because, you know, anybody's been around Nick, he talks about finishing games and finishing seasons, and he sort of laments, you know, when I couldn't finish my round. The round of my life at the greatest course ever, I couldn't finish it.
And now not only he's just trying to finish the entire college football season. Chris Lowe, I know you got to run because you're out traveling. Best of luck, and hopefully we do keep our fingers crossed and have the remainder part of the season, all right?
Same here. Great to be with you guys.
There it is. Chris Lowe joining us. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier. Progressive's home quote explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Because all of those guys, too, Alyssa, not only are they – you always try to find some kind of angle to talk to them about it. And these college coaches don't want to talk about football. It's like the only time I talked to Tim Duncan and had a really good conversation with Tim was about, not about basketball, not because we both live in San Antonio at the time. It was because I ran into him in a locker room before a playoff game, and it had just, like, PlayStation 2, I think, had just dropped. And the only thing I froze, and I'm like, what are you playing right now? And Duncan goes on a 20-minute diatribe about, like, hey, he's got the brand-new Call of Duty game, and he doesn't like how the multiplayer is playing out, and he goes all on it on that. So you always got to find the athlete that's tough to get to and find that one ancillary thing. For a lot of those college coaches, it's golf. For Tim Duncan, it happened to be video games. And now, by the way, that was Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What is it in Alyssa Lang's life? What is it donuts?
Oh, man. Probably not. Honestly, and this might surprise some people, I really love weightlifting. Like, I'm very obsessed with weightlifting and, like, Olympic lifting. And anybody who can talk to me about any sort of in-depth Olympic lift, I'm like, I'm going to be just wrapped up forever. I do want to go back for just a second to Chris's article because I'm scrolling through some of those coaches and trying to think, like, who would I rather play a round of golf with out of that list? And I was trying to choose somebody who I thought wouldn't yell at me and maybe would help me if I needed it. And Frank Beamer's on that list, and that's going to be my go-to. I feel like Coach Beamer would be like, yeah, just, you know, choke up a little bit, or, like, you know, keep that elbow straight or something. The Sabins and everyone else on that list, Peter, I feel like you're just gonna be like, gosh, you
there
are awful.
Hit us up on the Lebatard Twitter account. You can hit us up at Alyssa Lang, at Peter Burns ESPN. Everybody asks the cliche question, who your dream foursome would be for playing Augusta National. I want to know who's the worst four people that you would ever want to play. And Chris Cody definitely is on my list. We'll have that. And also big breaking news for the Marlins and Major League Baseball, that coming up next here. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang in on the Dan Le Batard Show. Lebatard Show with Stu Gatz. No Lebatard, no Stu Gatz. Peter Burns, Alyssa Lang with you, and of course, guests here on this show up here via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We talked about Chris Lowe telling the story about Nick Saban once playing Augusta earlier today, or earlier in his career, and had a chance to break 80. The caddy tells him that, and Saban goes double-double, and he was upset at the caddy. And of course, Steve Spurrier not running up the score one day against the legendary Frank Broyles, and Broyles ended up inviting him over to play Augusta. That was a good way of doing it. You can follow us on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN, at Alyssa Lang. Alyssa, big news in Major League Baseball as well. We've got Kim Ang, the first first Asian American GM for the Marlins. That's a pretty big breakthrough for the sport, right?
It's a huge deal. I mean, the fact that she is not only a high ranking member of the organization, but she's the general manager. I mean, it's awesome just to see the representation that this hire means for so many people, Asian Americans, women. It's incredible to see. And it's unfortunate that I'm already seeing on Twitter, like, well, who is this woman? I've never heard of her ever. Sorry. She has over 30 years of experience with the Chicago White Sox, the New York Yankees, the LA Dodgers, the MLB Commissioner's Office. Like, this lady's resume is stacked, and this could not be cooler to see on a Friday.
So my question is, at this point, did she deserve a better job than the Marlins? Billy, is that a low shot? Did I take a – let's go to our Marlins aficionado there. Like, how are we feeling? Like, how good of a gig is this for her to land the Miami Marlins gig?
I mean, why are you raining on everybody's parade today, Peter Burns? What's going on here?
I got to be honest with you. I'm in my feelings right now because my wife dressed up my daughter in all Alabama gear, and she hit me with the Roll Tide. As being an LSU fan who doesn't get the chance to see a game, albeit a 40-point beatdown that the Tide would have put on LSU, I'm kind of upset
about that
in college.
He's just projecting on us.
In college football, kind of whittling away as all these games are being canceled. But all serious, I mean, like, all right, Marlin fans amongst you here in the shipping container, how do we feel about this thing?
I think it's cool. It's exciting. I mean, the Marlins did make the playoffs last year. Now they were one of like 400 teams that made the playoffs, but they did make the playoffs. And I'm hoping that, you know, she won't be judged on one season because they made the playoffs with, you know, they were like two games over 500 or something. So if they fall back down to earth on a full season this year, I hope that, you know, it's not put on her, but she seems to be part of a larger rebuild that they have going on now. And their previous GM, who was also the president of baseball operations, was inherited from the previous ownership group. So this seems to be their person. So moving forward, they've rebuilt their farm system. They have young talent coming up now. And I guess this is now their final piece that they're putting in place for whatever their vision is.
Are we still in the, Roy and Anthony, are we still in this situation where we feel like anytime the Marlins do something, all of a sudden they'll be sellers just because, like, they want to have the run like they did, you know, twice before where they go on a run and then all of a sudden it's just like it's a blue light special at Kmart deal?
No, I don't think so anymore. I think the Marlins have turned the corner now. I don't feel like they're going to be sellers anymore. I think they're going to be buyers. And like Billy said, they fixed the farm system. If they do sell, they can sell any one of their prospects because they seem to be in high commodity now. But I think they made their turnaround. And I think they're up and coming. And I think they'll be a better team throughout. So I think that Kim has a good gig on her hands right now. She should be happy with her.
To be a seller, you actually have to have people that people want to buy, right? That's the thing. The Marlins right. for so long have had great pieces and have filtered through the farm system. And obviously you see Christian Yelich, like former MVPs and guys that they've let go for other pieces to rebuild that farm system. And now Kim Ang is going to be able to harness all the trades and all the things and all the assets they've collected and hopefully do some really good stuff with them.
All right, Alyssa, better gig. Kim Ang landing the GM job for the Marlins or whoever gets the next job as the host of Jeopardy? Which of the two would be your pick as the one that you would need to have?
Oh, man. Okay, well, for me, I'm certainly nowhere near as smart as Kim Ang, so I'd have to go with the Jeopardy gig personally because I think that's the one that I might not fail at. I don't think I am in any position to be a general manager of a Major League Baseball team as she is, but, you know, looking at the Jeopardy thing as well, as long as the requirement would be like being able to answer less than 2% of the questions, then I'm good.
But which one do you want? Not which one you would be better at, but which is a better gig? Like at the end of the day, when you go to bed, would you be more excited to be the GM of a baseball team or be more excited to be the host of Jeopardy? Easily, like, the most well-known outside of Wheel of Fortune. I do feel, Billy, but we haven't done anything on this show that provided an opportunity to use the poll because we haven't been that great today. But I do feel like we're coming up with a poll question. Better gig, GM of the Marlins or being the new host of Jeopardy, which is still to be determined. I still would put my money on Ken Jennings getting that. Or Mina Kimes, also, favor of the show here. Anybody? Levitard was not part of that list, was he? Is that correct? Is that not right?
He'd be no. Great, though.
I think Levitard would be great at it. Stugatz, not so much. Who would be the worst here on this show of actually hosting it?
What she's going to do here? Probably me. It's probably going to end up being me because okay. I actually have to know the answers. I know half of them.
You don't. No.
It's written on the card.
Such a better gig.
You know the answers. You have the card.
Yeah, Jeopardy's such a better gig than like a major league general manager because all you basically have to do is read and come off as smart, right? And there's no pressure unless you mess up reading the thing or for whatever reason you give out the wrong answer. Or in Jeopardy, Peter, you have to answer the questions in the form of question. So unless you start letting that slide and people aren't doing things in the form of a question, then I feel like Jeopardy is a pretty cushy gig, which I'm sure may or may not pay more anyways than being a general manager of the Marlins.
Right. There's probably no pressure. As long as you get the answers that are already predetermined, you're probably locked into a little bit of a longer deal than the Marlins gig. And now I'm starting to wonder, too, better gig now. Is it being a Jeopardy head coach, the host, or Wheel of Fortune as well, too? Because I guarantee you, Pat Sajak at some point had to get bored. Right. At some point, Pat Sajak in year 75 of this run with him and Vanna, I'd sit there going, I kind of need something a little bit different in my life. I'm just saying. We'll figure that out. Favorite thing about filling in here for Levitard Show, Peter Burns and Alyssa Lang, is that no matter how many times the guys hear the shipping container that they actually hear the rejoins, they still crack up. And that is a credit to how damn fine this show is and how damn fine the listeners are who support it. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Casper, by the way, the sleep company with outrageously comfortable products at not so outrageous price. And by the way, sounds this week have been brought to you by My Computer Career Training for Better Life. That's when you know, Alyssa, when you have a really good show like Dan's, is that you got 17 sponsors. Like our weekend shows, as I host Sunday mornings and you host Sunday afternoons, we got a couple of sponsors, but Dan's like basically 7,500 sponsors in like 2 minutes of actual content, which I appreciate.
That's how you know, and that's why everyone in, I guess, the entire world thinks that everybody on this show is rich that we've talked about before.
Yeah. Roy, by the way, in the middle of the show today, Roy got a bill for his roofing project that's being done right now. And and the fact that he just paid the guy in $100 bills in cash right in front of us was a little bit
of
a big move, Roy. That was an impressive, that was some swagger, my friend. Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
By the way, one more sponsor, Twitter poll brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports. Our Twitter poll was, Billy, better gig, and it still stumped Alyssa Lang here, being the Jeopardy host going forward, or what Kim Ang just landed, which was the Marlins GM. The people have spoken here on the Levitard Show, and they have said what?
Almost 86% of people would rather be the Jeopardy host than the Marlins GM.
Mm. Anthony, you're shaking your head. You agree with that poll?
Maybe it's the same thing as having the job for Monday Night Football, right? Like, if I'm Gruden, why would I go be a coach when I can just hang out for 13 weeks a year and get paid millions of dollars?
Fair enough. I don't know. Alyssa, you got to think that they tape multiple shows. So how many days a week do you think a Jeopardy host actually works throughout the day? Because Kim Ang, now, if you didn't know, see the news, the Marlins have hired the first Asian-American GM in Major League Baseball, which is unbelievable move. It's fantastic stuff. So, but she's going to be working 365 days a year, right? Like, you don't turn off in that job. Jeopardy host does how many days a week or a year, you think?
I really don't even have an answer for what the Monday through Friday or Saturday through Sunday would be for the Jeopardy host, honestly. Like, I feel like Jeopardy's not a show that I watch every single day, Peter. It's just something that, like, if Jeopardy's on or it happens to be on, then I'm locked in. But that's maybe, right, like, a couple of times a month. I would say, like, what Kim Ng has done is so incredible, and it means so much to so many people. So, like, I kind of want to take that part out of it, obviously. Like, when we're talking about overall impact, like, Kim Ng's running away with this one as the Marlins GM. But if you were presenting me with both of those jobs right now in this moment, I'm going to say Jeopardy host. That one's it's pretty easy because, again, I go back to, like, not being near smart enough to be the general manager of a baseball team, and I assume they write the answers to the questions on the Jeopardy cards. Like, I don't have to memorize them or commit them when I say, I'm sorry, Peter, we were looking for what is the Miami Marlins or what are the Miami Marlins when I say that. Like, the answer is there. You know?
Right. I mean, the idea is to get paid the most amount of money doing the least amount of work. That's how you win in life. Like the Judge Judy-ism. Billy, what, how much, you know it. You strike me as a guy that knows exactly how much Judge Judy makes. Give me a ballpark here.
Judge Judy works 52 days a year and she makes almost $900,000 every day she works.
What?
That's,
you're lying.
That is ridiculous.
52 days.
50. Again.
She, what does she do the other 300?
Spend her $900,000 a work day. Like at some point.
All
like
right.
It's a pretty good gig if you can get it. By the way, Dustin Johnson taking a pretty overwhelming lead as the Masters continue to roll on. What's he? If he ends up winning this thing, Alyssa, what's the Masters Champions dinner for Dustin Johnson?
So
legal dinner.
Knowing that Dustin's a South Carolina guy. He's from Chapin, South Carolina, I believe. I feel like he's going to dial in his Carolina roots and go barbecue, like barbecue spread. And I feel like it's easy to just call up like a local barbecue joint and be like, let's just do a buffet, mac and cheese, collards.
We'll see it the rest of the day. It's over on ESPN+. Enjoy it. She's Alyssa Lang. I'm Peter Burns. This has been the Dan Le Batard Show.